Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Astrology Now podcast. My name is Christine Rodriguez, and on this segment, we are going to be looking at the most important transits of 2024. Now, just a reminder that here on Astrology Now podcast, we do use the Vedic sidereal system of astrology, which is different than the Western tropical system. So if you're coming from a Western tropical perspective, the transits that I'm using and the dates that I'm using are going to be much different than the Western tropical. So please keep in mind that Astrology Now is a Vedic sidereal podcast. And I hope that you all are off to a good start on your New Year's resolutions or New Year's goals. Something that I was thinking about this year, and I was really fortunate because I got to have New Year's with my boyfriend, who's very, very insightful, very self-reflective. He is an amazing teacher in a lot of ways. He and I were reflecting together and kind of bouncing ideas off of each other. And something that I was realizing is that it's less about a goal and an intention and more about personality qualities and different commitments that we want to uphold in our lives. So I just wanted to offer that forward in case it resonated with anybody, because if we really embody the personality qualities or the qualities in our life of the person we are wanting to be, then those goals and ambitions will likely naturally manifest anyway. And so focusing on the personality qualities, focusing on different virtues and values, I think can be just as important, if not more important. And the other thing, we were kind of sharing reflections of each other. And something he was saying is he's like, you know, you're on your phone a lot. And so he's not on social media. He doesn't have Instagram. He doesn't get on social media. I've mentioned this before. He's a mountain guide. He enjoys his space in remote places, enjoys being present, has a background in the Buddhist tradition. So he's like kind of giving me this reflection about my phone. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm definitely on my phone more than you are. And like part of it is because of work, right? Social media is kind of a thing. And I was like, but I'm going to try to spend less time on my phone. So I was going through my phone and I was like rearranging my apps to like make them more challenging to access as we do. And I accidentally hit something where Instagram just like disappeared. Like it's still on my phone somewhere, but it's just not on the background screen. And I was just kind of like, perfect. I did what needed to be done. And I was signed out of Instagram already when that happened. And so I was just like, you know, I'm just not going to get on Instagram. And I think that things are going to be okay. You know, I think I've told myself this story that I have to have Instagram for my business. And the truth is that I'm actually not that active on Instagram anyway. I mostly just use it for like scrolling and browsing and whatever. I'm really not super, super active on posting or anything like that. It's like I just recently started doing reels and things. So I was like, you know, is it even going to have an impact? And so I haven't been on Instagram for the last several days, and amazing things have started happening. I've started having time to do things that I've been wanting to do. I've been cleaning more. I've been more physically creative in terms of drawing, wanting to get photos printed. I got a ton of things checked off of my to-do list. I think that the biggest thing that I've noticed also is that I'm forgetting my phone. So I've been forgetting my phone in the car, where I've been forgetting my phone in my bag. It's like because I'm not constantly scrolling or thinking about notifications, I haven't cared as much about where my phone is. And I think that that's kind of priceless, you know? And I know that some people actually have a business on Instagram, like Instagram is their business. And so totally respect and value that. And for myself, that's not the case. You know, I have a business through the podcast, through YouTube, through my website and all of that. I don't necessarily need Instagram. And so I'm thinking that I just need to take the time off. And so that's where I am right now. That's how my New Year's has kind of started off as. I hadn't intended when I was like writing down my goals and aspirations. I hadn't intended on taking time off social media, but I got that really good reflection. I was kind of thinking about it. And, you know, I just think that life goes by really fast. And I don't want to look back at my life and remember all the time I spent scrolling, you know, and I don't think that that's the case. When I look back at 2023 and I think about my favorite moments, they were all spent in life, you know, rather it be in the mountains with my partner, with my mom, with a family member, with my dog alone, you know, in the hills in the beginning of the year. And just like these really amazing, beautiful moments that had nothing to do with my phone. And so I don't think that as I move through life, I'm going to be reminiscing on the things that I've done online on Instagram. And I think it's going to have a lot more to do with the real connections that I've had, whether it be with the universe, with nature, with my loved ones, with my clients, you know, these real interactions that are very, very deep and meaningful. And so I just wanted to offer that as well in case it was helpful, because it's addicting. You know, social media is addicting, but it's, and it offers a lot of good. You know, I think that social media really does offer a lot of good in a lot of ways. And, you know, leaving ourselves space to tap into our own mind and our own creativity and our own thoughts. I think that's something that I was noticing, is that being on social media, it gave me so much less time to conjure my own creative ideas or to conjure my own sparks of inspiration for different things, and also just like productivity objectively. But social media is definitely not completely bad by any stretch of the imagination, and finding that balance, and also just finding where it is, how it is for you. Some of you may have no issue with social media at all. For me, it's highly addicting for me. So anyway, I wanted to share that. Hope it was helpful. And again, I hope that all of you had time to kind of reflect on 2023 and the highs and the lows and the most magnificent moments, the moments that stand out the most, your successes, your achievements, any special moments that occurred for you regardless of how small, and just finding value and meaning in your precious life. So moving forward with these transits of 2024, as I mentioned, I'm going to go through, I think there are about 7 bigger transits that I would like to spend time talking about, 6 or 7. And I do host a workshop. I'm planning on hosting a workshop. I'm kind of behind on everything. I know we're already in January. But I'm planning to do a 2024 workshop where we go through month per month talking about every single transit, talking about the stations and the directs of all the major planets, looking at the eclipses, looking at, you know, these transits I'm going to share today more in depth. We're just going to do a month by month analysis, which takes quite a bit of time, but is profoundly helpful. So I've already gone through month by month and I've looked at the bigger transits occurring. And so just kind of have that on your radar. I am going to be hosting a workshop eventually. And today we're just going to be looking at some of the major transits coming up and major themes coming up. And so looking at the astrology, you know, of where we are, I remember in December talking about how this emphasis on Sagittarius was going to put a huge emphasis on the justice system, on law and order, rules, regulations, people acting in extreme ways. I say this all the time when we have these like suicide bombers or really violent attacks, that radicalized way of thinking, it's a Sagittarius energy. And so unfortunately, there are a lot of these threats and people are really scared. You know, we're seeing threats around the world, threats for the airline system, which again is travel, which is Sagittarius. We're seeing threats in the US, you know, threats in other countries. It's a big deal. It's a very hot time. You know, Mars in Sagittarius can create that type of energy. And to add to that, Mars is currently combust, right? And so a combust planet is when a planet is very close to the sun. The sun's heat combusts the planet begins operating in that hot, volatile way. So we have the sun in Sagittarius, we have Mars in Sagittarius, we're seeing this occur. And we're also seeing all of these impeachments and Trump being taken off the ballot and him trying to go to the Supreme Court and have it overturned. It's this back and forth, it's this battle with what's right, what's wrong, legalities. So if y'all haven't been watching, I believe it was Colorado and maybe another state, they did not want to allow Trump to be on the ballot. And so I believe he's taking that to the Supreme Court to allow himself to be on the ballot. And we're also seeing this, the House committee finally beginning the impeachment proceedings for the Homeland Security chief. And if I remember correctly, the main issue here was over the border laws. So definitely a lot of stuff accumulating, definitely there being a focus on coming to terms with right and wrong, right? Are we doing a good job? Have we been doing what is ethical? Have we been doing what is correct? That's the energy that's coming up. Something else that I was thinking about, I saw this article on the news. I think it was just like Apple News, and then it prompted some investigation. But I saw an article mentioning that in the year of 2024, the majority of citizens on Earth will be participating in an election. And I thought that was really interesting. And so I looked into it, and at least 64 countries, at least 64 countries will be having an election in the year of 2024. And when I think about elections, I think about, first of all, Pluto, right? This Pluto in Capricorn that we've been having. Capricorn is the sign of the government. It's the sign of government structures. It's the sign of what keeps things together. Capricorn is Sirius. It's the 10th sign of the zodiac associated to the 10th house. It's the house of work, of professional life, of, you know, showing up on time, being responsible, being diligent. The 10th house is also the house of the government and government work. Capricorn is associated to the government. With Pluto in Capricorn, we witnessed this in 2020. As soon as Pluto entered the sidereal Capricorn, governments around the world started shifting. We had a monumental event that caused governments to shift and change and operate in a different way. Pluto will be in Capricorn for the next several years. And what's interesting about this year specifically, and again, I've been talking about this for years and years, is that the United States will have its Pluto return. The United States has never had a Pluto return before. This is uncharted territory for the United States, something we've never experienced before. And the United States has an impact on other countries. And I've even heard that some folks in other countries will watch the US election because it has an impact on the global collective. And so the United States having this exact Pluto return, I think it will impact other countries and other nations. And, you know, it doesn't change the fact that we still have Pluto in Capricorn for everybody. So when those outer planets, Pluto, Neptune, and Uranus, when they transit signs, they really do make an impact. And this is very important because I wanted to demonstrate Pluto and Capricorn in 2020, we all felt that around the world. No arguing with that, I imagine. And this year, we will see Uranus move into the sign of Taurus. It will only stay in Taurus for a few months. Uranus will enter Taurus between June to December. And then Uranus will come back to Taurus in 2025. So we're going to get an idea of what Uranus and Taurus feels like, have a little experience of it. But I really want to mark that because this is going to be a big year. Honestly, I think that 2024 is going to be a year like we've never experienced before. I sincerely believe that. I've been saying that forever, mostly because of the Pluto return in the United States. And when we look at the transits of 2024, we're having many big events that are relatively rare. So big events on the horizon for the year of 2024. Let's go ahead and really get into the meat of this podcast. What is on the menu? What are the bigger events of 2024? So first and foremost, Pluto return, hands down, it's occurring in fall. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Also, the Jupiter and Uranus conjunction that everybody is talking about in the sidereal system, the Uranus and Jupiter conjunction is occurring in the sidereal sign of Aries. Uranus and Jupiter in Taurus is a huge shift. The eclipses we will briefly talk about, and we will talk about Mars retrograde in the sign of Cancer that will also occur later in the year. So kind of backing up a little bit, talking about these outer planets, right? Uranus in the sign of Taurus. Uranus does not change signs very often. And so Uranus transiting into a new sign is a very big deal. We have not experienced Uranus in the sign of Taurus for a very long time. We haven't experienced Uranus in the sign of Taurus with Jupiter in a very long time. Both of these planets are slow moving, right? Uranus is very slow moving. Jupiter takes about a year to transit a sign. So it takes about 12 years to transit all 12 signs. The last time that we had Jupiter and Uranus together in the sign of Taurus was during Pearl Harbor. Now, during that experience, there was also the planet Saturn. Saturn was in Taurus as well. And so it's very difficult to isolate astrological events and recreate them. It's, you know, very rare that we're going to have the exact same transit at any given moment in time. But I'm sharing that because this is a serious energy we're working with. So first of all, Taurus is the sign of economy and wealth. The earth signs have an emphasis on wealth, money, economy, currency. Taurus specifically has its association to traditional values. It's ruled by Taurus, so there is this emphasis on art and creativity and luxury. Taurus is the second sign of the zodiac associated to the second house, which is about food and resources. How many resources we have at home, how comfortable we are at home. And so there's this huge theme on the sign of Taurus this year. So first of all, starting with Jupiter, Jupiter is going to enter the sign of Taurus in May of 2024, and it will stay there for a year. And with Jupiter and Taurus, you know, globally, this is going to expand the Taurusian qualities. I do think it will be a big year for creativity and art. I think that AI is going to kind of take it to next levels, perhaps. And there may be some other artistic breakthrough or performance breakthrough. With Jupiter and Taurus, I do foresee there being an emphasis on food and resources. You know, I think there's going to be perhaps more discoveries on how to make food. Like there's some pretty weird stuff with like lab grown meat. You know, there's been suggestions about people eating bugs. There's been these like new ideas, new concepts on how to nourish ourselves. I think that Jupiter and Taurus is going to really emphasize that. And there may be more of an emphasis on how we're getting food, how we are sustaining resources. You know, what we're doing with the land, who's owning the farmland, what are we doing with the food, how are we processing the food. I think, again, there's going to be this emphasis on food and sustenance, resources in general. Taurus can also have this association to gold. And so with Jupiter in Taurus, we may see some sort of emphasis on more traditional currencies. I still think that there will be an emphasis on Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and more future, like quote unquote, like futuristic ways of dealing with money. There may even be like this emphasis on digitizing wealth. But notice what happens around the world, because I think that around the world, we're going to be seeing changes occur in what we value and also what we put stock in, and maybe even a transition of currencies in some way. So I wanted to note that this is Jupiter and Taurus specifically. And also, it's an amazing time to start growing your own food. So if you have been wanting to start a garden, if you've been wanting to grow tomatoes or kale or strawberries, whatever it may be, this is an awesome time to begin investing in your own snacks and your own food. And honestly, and I've been thinking about this more and more, I can't imagine anything more valuable than creating your own food supply. I think it's just absolutely remarkable. And it's so interesting that it's not emphasized in education. It's something that isn't necessarily encouraged. It's not like we're growing up learning how to change tires or pay our taxes or start a farm. You know, we're kind of, our education system, at least here in the US, is kind of focused on other things. But for me, when I spend time reflecting on it, I think that learning how to sustain life is one of the best investments we can give ourselves. So again, if you have been wanting to invest in yourself that way and start growing things for yourself, I think that Jupiter in Taurus is a very, very nice supportive year for it. Now, there is this emphasis on all of the earth signs. So we have Jupiter in Taurus. Of course, Uranus will enter Taurus as well, which we'll talk about here in a moment. K2 is in the sign of Virgo, and we have Pluto in Capricorn. And so we have this pretty heavy emphasis this year on the earth signs. And earth signs, again, they are the Artha signs. Artha is related to wealth. So I do see there being major shifts in economies and with financial systems, with currencies, things of that nature. And, you know, we were talking about how historically with Rahu and Pisces and K2 and Virgo, there was a big emphasis with storms. Hurricane Katrina, for example, occurred during this transit. Lots of emphasis with flooding, water, sudden events involving water. We've already begun seeing that this year. I do think it's something that will continue. Now, with this emphasis on Taurus specifically, I do think earthquakes, landslides, you know, tectonic plates shifting, these are other areas of natural disasters that we will need to watch out for. So I wanted to mention that too, and I'll get to the months that I believe that we'll really need to watch out for that. Now, Uranus and Jupiter will have a complete conjunction, and this is going to occur in April. April, I'm marking as a pretty big month in 2024. I think that spring, like April, May, June, those months are going to be pretty impactful. I think it's going to bring quite a bit of change. And part of the reason why I say that is because there's a lot of this movement, right? That we'll talk about, but there's a lot of big shifts with major planets. Plus we have the eclipses. So looking at April alone, we are going to have a solar eclipse on April 8th in the sign of Pisces. And this is also the Vedic New Year. Whenever we have a new moon in the sign of Pisces that marks the Vedic New Year, it happens to also be an eclipse. And so the Vedic New Year chart we use in Vedic astrology to get an idea of some of the major themes of the years and karmas of the years. And so when we have Rahu in Pisces or Ketu in Pisces, when we have a node in Pisces, it tends to be a karmic year because we have a node with the Vedic new year. It lands on an eclipse, which means the year has a lot of this karmic potential. And so on a global level, it represents that there will be these kind of bigger events that are occurring. And on a personal level, it could also be, you know, and I think this for everybody with this transit of Rahu and Pisces, Ketu and Virgo, I think it's a really big year for closing chapters, for tying up loose strings, and for letting go of aspects of our lives that just no longer serve us. Opening a door to something new, really evolving. Pisces is that final sign of the zodiac. And so it represents the completion. And so for many of us, we may be moving into entirely new cycles of time, entirely new chapters of life. And so I do see that offering on a personal level, and then on a global level, same thing, you know, phases of time completing. Different leaders completing their task, having a completion of their role, of their commitments. So we will have that big eclipse in April 8th, kind of kickstarting everything. And then on April 20th, not long after the eclipse, we will have the Uranus-Jupiter conjunction again that everybody is talking about. And this conjunction is going to occur at 27 degrees of Kritika Nakshatra in the sign of Aries. So if you have any planets at 27 degrees of Kritika, this is particularly going to influence you in a big way. I think that the Uranus and Jupiter combination can give sudden epiphanies, sudden realizations, sudden insights you may get. You know, you may learn something, discover something about the world or about yourself, or have some sort of idea or inspiration that does change your trajectory. And it could also be that there is an opportunity. There could be an external force, opportunity, or shift that changes the trajectory. So if you have plans at 27 degrees of Aries, I think it's going to be a big year for you. I suppose you could also have plans at 27 degrees of Libra. Libra and Aries, I think, would be mostly impacted, but then maybe the cardinal signs of Cancer and Capricorn as well with the square degrees. But again, Aries particularly. On the global level, I think that this definitely could be the catalyst of some sort of sudden event. You know, there could be a sudden event that occurs. There could be sudden decisions that are made. And the thing about Aries is that it represents passion and excitement and inspiration and new beginnings, which is why there can absolutely be this opportunity for something great, especially in our personal lives. Such a great, you know, I mean, even if we don't have planets at those degrees, I think that it could mark this new beginning and this new outlook and this new exciting, passionate venture of some kind. Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. And Aries is also the, you know, it's the planet of war and aggression. It's the sign of weaponry, right? Aries is governed by Mars. So there is this association to weapons and aggression and volatility, especially in the nakshatra of Kritika. Kritika is represented by a sharp object, by a knife or a sword. And so around that period of time in our own personal lives, we should definitely be mindful of being sharp, being pointed, of being impulsive and like severing ties or severing connections of some kind. And in the global sphere, we should be mindful of individuals acting in an aggressive way. And I do also think that there could be some big shift in the economy around this period of time as well. Also, in April, we will see the combination of Saturn and Mars in Aquarius, which I think will be significant. So that combination will be occurring for most of April. And Saturn and Mars, it can create a little bit of a disjuncture of energy. I think that because this combination is occurring in the sign of Aquarius, there could be a lot more of a focus on humanitarian efforts and serving the collective. There could also be breakthroughs with health and wellness in general. With some of the other astrological events, there may even be a focus on the drug issues that we're having, you know, the fentanyl crisis that we're having. There may be an emphasis on wanting to heal that or remedy that in some capacity. Saturn entered Aquarius at the beginning of 2023, and something that we spoke a lot about when Saturn entered Aquarius was this focus on humanity and a focus on humanitarian efforts. And so what has been interesting about that is that we've seen these very intense global events, these very intense global affairs, get so many people around the world interested in serving one another and supporting one another and bringing this focus to humanitarian efforts. And so we've been seeing that with Saturn and Aquarius. I think that, you know, in spring, when Saturn and Mars are conjunct in Aquarius, again, March and April primarily, we may see that amplified. And we may even see people get really upset and angry about things that are happening and really stand up for injustice and take action on injustice. So another big event in the month of April. And so kind of continuing here after April with that combination of Jupiter and Uranus, with the combination of Mars and Saturn, as we move into May, that is when Jupiter officially enters Taurus. So Jupiter will enter Taurus on May 1st, and it will stay there until spring of 2025. We already spent time talking about Jupiter and Taurus and what that can represent. I suppose what I should add to that is that Taurus is the sixth sign, or it's the sixth house, I should say, for the United States birth chart. And so earlier I was mentioning, I was talking about Pearl Harbor, right? The last time that Jupiter and Uranus were in Taurus, Pearl Harbor occurred. Of course, Saturn was there as well, so it was a different transit. But I'm sharing that because the sixth house is the house of obstacles and enemies and opposition and challenges. For the United States birth chart that I use, the ascendant of the United States is the sign of Sagittarius. Sagittarius is governed by Jupiter. Wherever Jupiter is located is going to be very important for this year, May 1st of 2024 until spring of 2025. Jupiter is going to be in the sixth house. I do foresee this being a time where there are a lot of obstacles, a lot of opposition. You know, the cleaning of the nose for the United States, anything that has not been, you know, honest or straightforward, anything that has been disorganized or incongruent, it's going to be addressed. And the sixth house is also the house of debt. And so I think this is going to be a big time for the United States in regards to addressing the financial issues and addressing debt issues. And because the sixth house has to do with enemies and opposition, it's aspecting the 12th house of hidden enemies. This is, you know, this is a year where there's going to be a lot of conflict with other countries and there's going to be a lot of opposition. And again, I think that this is, I mean, between the Pluto in Capricorn, the Rahu in K2, between the fourth house and the 10th house, which we're going to spend time talking about with this emphasis on the sixth, I think it's going to be a big year for the United States in regards to financial matters and addressing some of these financial issues we've been having. And again, a focus on currency and wealth as well. And government structures, how things are structured, how we feel about things being structured. So again, May, Jupiter will enter Taurus. And again, on a personal level, my recommendation, if you feel inspired to start a garden, start a garden. Also an outstanding time to focus on wealth and finances, really being responsible with investments, being smart with investments. It could even be for some of you, if you're considering investing in art, of course, you should look at your own individual birth chart for that, but it could be an amazing time to invest in artwork because Taurus is art, entertainment in some way. And it is a great time for creativity and the senses. You know, when I think of Taurus, I think of the five senses. So it's a great time to explore our five senses and invest in our five senses, rather it be investing with money or just investing in our own exploration, our own time. So we'll talk more about this in the month-to-month predictions that I do in the workshop, but Mars will also be with Rahu in May. As we kind of move through May and spring and summer, things are going to be building in intensity, I believe. In June, this is when Uranus enters Taurus. So there may be a big shift that occurs around June. June is the month that Uranus will enter Taurus. Again, we haven't experienced Uranus change signs in years and years, so it's a very big shift. Uranus will stay in Taurus from June until December 13th. So on December 13th of 2024, Uranus will retrograde back into Aries, and then Uranus will be back in Taurus to stay in 2025. But again, we're going to have these several months of Uranus in Taurus. And I think during this period of time, that's really when we're going to be, you know, feeling this shift with the economy and this focus on the economy, and maybe even a focus on the opposition and cleaning up some of these issues that we've been ignoring, perhaps. And again, I'm talking about the US specifically here, but for the world, for the globe, Uranus and Taurus, absolutely, I think, will shift matters involving the economy and money and currencies. And we're seeing Pluto in Capricorn with Uranus and Taurus, right? This very big focus on the earth signs, which is all about money. And it's also all about government. So have that in the back of your mind as we kind of move through this period. The other thing that I wanted to mention, it's a little out of order, but I wanted to mention the Rahu and Ketu in the signs of Pisces and Virgo. I did an entire segment on this. So if you're interested, you can go back and listen to the segment I did with Rahu and Ketu. I think that with Ketu being in Virgo, again, it's an earth sign, has to do with money. It also has to do with health and wellness. I do see there being a big focus on health and wellness. And something that I've thought has been interesting is this push towards natural health by people who aren't even necessarily like quote unquote woo-woo. I feel like it kind of started off in the yoga community where people were healing themselves with food. Of course, Ayurveda has been around since the dawn of time, using food as medicine. It's like we act like it's some new revolutionary thing, but the ancients have been doing it all along. But in like the hippie community, the crunchy community, however you want to call it, there's been this focus on functional medicine and using food as medicine and herbs as medicine. And now it's kind of broadening out to people who aren't necessarily in the crunchy community. What's the connection between big food and big pharma? And so I thought that was really fascinating. I had never heard those two words. I've never used the word big food, so to speak, but it was interesting hearing people who are in positions of power noting how important diet and nutrition is for overall health and wellness, and having this kind of revolutionary thought where we've been taught that health and wellness can only come from pharmaceuticals. Any health issue, we need to go to a specific type of doctor. The lens is broadening. You know, people are having new insights and new awareness Also, something that's interesting as I'm thinking about this is that K2 is things from the past. You know, it's kind of like the old way of doing things. It's in Virgo, which is all about health and wellness. Virgo is the sign of health. It's kind of like going back to the old way, you know, the traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, traditional ways of healing that really do have profound impact. So that's something we should be keeping in mind. And then with Rahu in Pisces, of course, when it comes to, and I should say before I move on to Pisces, with this emphasis on Virgo, land, resources also. The earth signs are always about what keep us safe and keep us secure. I was talking to somebody recently about how the earth signs have this tendency to like want to control things. And like, it's kind of like the dark side of the earth signs where they need to have things organized and controlled to feel safe. But everything has a polarity. And the polarity of that is that the earth signs create the structure and security and the safety needed so that we can relax. So sure, when the earth signs are out of balance, they can be controlled and anxious. But when they're in balance, they've created the security. They feel safe, right? So anything that has to do with safety, security, feeling at ease, you know, the earth signs usually have an association to that. And maybe earthquakes, you know, issues with the earth can happen when there are imbalances. And so with Rahu in Pisces, of course, this emphasis on water, natural disasters involving water, but then also water as a resource. It can have an emphasis on spirituality and the global spiritual consciousness. And, you know, drugs. I think that drugs are going to be a big deal this year. I think that anything that kind of takes us out of a grounded way of thinking, Pisces really likes to alter its consciousness for better or for worse, altering our consciousness through meditation, spirituality, altering our consciousness through drugs. So yeah, I think that drugs are going to be a big deal this year. And I also think that there could be breakthroughs in health and wellness in regards to like plant medicine. Now, for the United States specifically, this transit is occurring between the 4th and the 10th house. The 4th house is the house of the homeland, citizens, our sense of comfort at home. The 10th house, as we mentioned earlier, is the government. K2 also is transiting the natal Saturn. So big emphasis on the homeland, on how citizens feel, on how we're working, you know, as people perceiving the government, how the government is operating and how they are perceived by the people. It's going to be a theme for 2024, I believe for sure. So kind of jumping back into chronological order. So the first eclipse season, as I mentioned, is between March and April. Whenever we have eclipses, we can anticipate big events. So March and April, that area of time, we're going to be having eclipses. There's going to be, you know, the opportunity for a shift. Then in June, we have Uranus and Taurus, which I think is going to be monumental, as I mentioned. I think it's, you know, the summer months, I think, is very crucial for security in the United States. So we'll just kind of keep it at that. We'll go more into it in the workshop where we look at everything specifically. The second eclipse season is going to be occurring between September and October. And I do believe that as we enter October, the drama around the elections are going to be intensifying because we have these other continued events. You know, in November, this is when we have the exact Pluto return. So this is going to be November 30th. Pluto will return at 6 degrees in the sign of Capricorn. And this is also around the time that Mars is going to be in the sign of Cancer and then go retrograde in December. So October, November, and December, we have things back to back. We have October, which is our solar eclipse at 15 degrees of Hasta Nakshatra. That's October 2nd. And then in November, on November 30th, we have the United States complete Pluto return at the degree point. And then in December, we have Mars retrograde. So all of that to say, here in the United States, I think the end of the year is definitely going to be a wild ride. And I think that it is absolutely something to be cognizant of. Kind of going into this, into the Pluto return a little bit more, is that Pluto is the planet of death and rebirth. It breaks things down that are not necessary, that are not helpful, that need to be peeled back or stripped back so that something new can be born. And that's the beauty of Pluto, is that absolutely it can cause these big cataclysmic events of change. And it always offers a rebirth with the wisdom and the knowledge necessary for growth. And so what's been really interesting since the Pluto return began, particularly in the United States and perhaps around the world, because, you know, Capricorn represents the government around the world, is that, you know, the toxicity and the corruption is slowly being revealed and peeled back. I know I always use this as an example because I think it's a great example, but like the Jeffrey Epstein thing is a great example, which I should also say that list being revealed during Sagittarius season is very fascinating because Sagittarius is all about the truth, right? But I'm using him as an example because with him being exposed, it also exposed all of these other people in power who are connected to him. That is one small example of the corruption that's being revealed. And people, you know, I just don't think that they trust the elite the way that they used to. And I don't think that people really look up to celebrities the way that they used to. All these people who hold some sort of power, control, and influence, I think it's been changing and shifting. And even with social media, what, like, quote unquote, like, what is a celebrity has been shifting. Used to, you had to be in a Hollywood movie to be a celebrity, and now there are celebrities from TikTok and Instagram and all of the, and YouTube. So I think that the power structures have been shifting and changing in a multitude of ways. All of that to say, as we approach November, which also, again, if you're not aware, is also election month or election season, this is when we have that Pluto return. And so I think there's going to be this kind of dissatisfaction. I think that people are going to be dissatisfied. I think we're going to be wanting more. And I think we're going to be demanding that something changes. You know, Saturn is still in Aquarius. It's about the people. It's about humanity. It's about the collective. And so I think that people are really going to be demanding a change and wanting a change. I don't think that people are going to be super happy and thrilled. I think there's going to be a lot of disagreement around the election. And I think that though it may be an uncomfortable period of time, I think that growth and expansion and doing things in a new way is always uncomfortable. And that's our growth's edge, right? So yes, it will be uncomfortable. People will be upset. People will be angry. And perhaps it's a necessary transformation. It's a necessary experience for us to build towards a greater rebirth. So kind of approaching it from that perspective. Mars, again, will retrograde in December. Mars is going to retrograde at 11 degrees of Cancer. And so Mars does not retrograde very often. Of all the planets, Mars retrogrades kind of like the least often, really. It doesn't retrograde super often. It also doesn't retrograde in the sign of Cancer very often. So this is another kind of rare occurrence this year where Mars is happening to retrograde in its sign of debilitation. So, you know, and with its association to the United States chart, I just see it being a very inflammatory, difficult, triggered period of time where there is a lot of frustration and anger. And, you know, Cancer is the sign of the home, of the homeland, of security. I just don't think that people are going to be happy with the elections. I think that people are going to be very, you know, disgruntled and in a state of disagreement, leading us towards a relatively intense 2025. So that is really what I have for 2024. Just one more note of the odd things happening in 2024 that are relatively rare is that every year Mercury retrogrades in the same element. So for example, if Mercury retrogrades in the sign of Aries, it's also going to retrograde in Sagittarius and Leo. And so every year, Mercury kind of sticks to one element. And this year, Mercury is going to be vacillating between water and fire signs, which is interesting. Doesn't happen very often. So 2024 is full of interesting new events that we have not experienced in a long time, slash have experienced in our lifetime, depending on how old we are. And so I stick to what I said at the beginning of this podcast. I think that 2024 is going to be unlike any other year we've experienced. And I would hope that as we approach this year, we can really approach it from the perspective that though globally there may be this intensity, there are opportunities for growth and expansion, and we individually create the collective. And so as we approach this year, if we are choosing to operate from that place of love and strength, and specifically Dharma, which is operating from a place that is beneficial for us, beneficial for our families, and also beneficial for those around us, operating from a place of service, we will absolutely have the opportunity to create more peace and abundance and security in our own life and for the people that we love. And, you know, that really makes a difference. Whenever we are watching these transits and we're making global predictions, it's underneath the, it's really assessing kind of the collective consciousness and how we're operating as a collective. And there's been a lot of injustice and there's been a lot of unfair treatment of individuals, and there has been a lot of this toxicity. And so kind of makes sense that we'll have transits that bring that out and bring it to light and help it be discovered so that we have the opportunity again to mend and heal and grow. And so that's how I'm going to be approaching this year. Again, I'm going to be focusing on the things that really do matter, going to be focusing on my loved ones, on serving the collective as well as I can, and focusing on what really brings long-lasting security. So again, I think for all of us, it's an amazing time to be focusing on investments, security, whatever we find that to mean. Again, for myself, I think it means like growing food, growing resources. So that is what I have for the short form of 2024. I will be offering that month-to-month workshop where we look at all of the main transits for 2024 and the degree points and all of that good stuff. If you would like to join that workshop, you can check periodically at innerknowing.yoga, where I will be selling it. My Patreon, again, where I talk about the predictions for each of the 12 signs, is patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast. And my Instagram, where I'm taking time off, but it still exists, is astrologynow_podcast. Again, my name is Christine Rodriguez. This is Astrology Now. Thank you so much.